In the name of Jesus, my dear friends, some years ago when I was in high school, there were those students we all looked up to, the upper echelon, if you will, of students, athletes, scholars, cheerleaders, members of the student council. They were the somebodies back in Illinois. There were also, however, the rest of us who were on the other end of the ladder, the spectrum, so to speak. They were the students who made B's and C's. The students who didn't go out for sports because they weren't fast enough or strong enough to make the team. The ones who wouldn't run for office because getting 3 votes would be embarrassing. I found myself most of the time in that lower segment of the class in high school and also in college and even at the so-called classless society called the seminary. I never really made it into the upper segment during my education years. For this reason, I know how students feel about not making it. Others have felt that way before you felt that way. Of course, someone will tell me that on this level of sanctification, if you will, we're not supposed to be concerned about making it. Instead, we are all in heartfelt humility to be pleased that God has called us to this work. And that certainly is true. We're all glad to be his servants. But the sinful side of us didn't die. When we came through the doors of this institution, our sinful side still wants desperately to make comparisons between us and others, and when it does, it seemingly always comes up measuring us short. Well, even if people around us would judge us for this quiet comparing, and even if we try to deny that such is the case in our lives, God knows that people always make these comparisons. And God himself knows what it feels like to be one of the have-nots, one of those at the bottom of the spectrum. God knows because through the incarnation, he entered our human flesh, became one of us. And when he came, he took on not the role of the high and mighty, but he came as the servant. He learned about rejection and social stratus firsthand when he experienced life among the sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He mingled with the high and the low and felt most at home with the low. And he speaks to us about these strata of society through his servant Paul. These words form our text for this morning, and I would like you to listen carefully to them since they speak to us who make up the haves and the have-nots. Remember who you were, brothers, when God called you. Few of you were wise or powerful or of high social standing from the human point of view. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to put wise men to shame, and what the world considers weak to put the powerful people to shame. He chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. This means that no one can boast in God's presence, but God has brought you into fellowship with Jesus Christ, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We've become God's holy people through him and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. And Paul wrote these words so many years ago, he wrote them to the Corinthians. They were, by and large, very ordinary people like us. Ordinary by anyone's definition. Not many of them were super intellectuals. Not many of them were excellent athletes. Fewer still had any social standing to speak of at all. Now, in that day, as in our day, people spent time comparing themselves to others. In those days, the have-nots stuck their tongues out at the haves, and the haves sneered at the have-nots. Things don't change much. Maybe you can recall it. I certainly can. Back in high school, when those really popular guys would walk by, I wanted to trip them right there in the hall. I envied their personalities, their social grace, their looks, their minds, and their muscles. Maybe there is that subtle side of us, that subtle part of comparing in your life and mine too. Even here at the seminary, because there always seem to be those students who somehow stand in the forefront, who make just the right comment when the prof asks for a reaction to what he said. Even here at the sem, there seem to be those students who are picked out, worthy as they are, for higher honors than the rest. And meanwhile, you feel as if you have much to offer as well, but are not picked out. Well, in this text, St. Paul is certainly talking to you. Here he says, speaking for God, that these differences make no difference to God at all. God chooses to use people, in many cases, who seem less qualified than others. He decides once in a while to bless their work especially. Seems to me, looking over my class from graduation day 1969, that God has used some of the most humble students to accomplish the very greatest things. And those who were more with it, who were maybe more intellectual, God has used for less phenomenal accomplishments. It fits what St. Paul says. God chooses the ones that the world sees as nothings. He chooses the ones that the world rejects and uses them mightily for his purposes. But when you compare all of us in this room to society as a whole, you've got to realize we are all numbered among the nothings. Which of us compares socially with Charles and I? Raise your hand if you are truly a world-class athlete. If you're in the same academic strata as Einstein, let your presence be known right now. No, by the world's standards, we're all a bunch of nothings. But that makes no difference at all to God, because God picks out the less than spectacular and chooses to do the spectacular through them. After all, he picked out Israel, didn't he? A puny, sinful little nation, and used this nation to his greater glory. He picked out the youngest and the smallest and therefore the weakest of Jesse's sons. He picked out David and made him king of all Israel. And he made the son of this shepherd boy to be the wisest of all the wise. All of these people were nothing, but God chose to bless them and to do great things through them. And I'm here this morning to tell you the same thing about yourself. You may not think very much of yourself. You may think you stand at the bottom of the totem pole here at the seminary. And if we're all honest, we know we're at the bottom of the totem pole in comparison to the rest of human society. By the world's standards, we are less than nothing, but that doesn't bother God. He chooses to bless us in Christ, and He raises us up to the highest levels in Him. He chose, says Paul, what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing, in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. Look through the magazines there in the doctor's office. You'll see what the world sees as important: a pretty exterior, a measure of economic independence, a high level of social acceptability, and lots of material things as a means of self-expression. And all these things are certainly nice to have, but God blesses us, very ordinary people, with higher blessings than all of these. He gives us the knowledge that our sins have been forgiven, that we will one day be in paradise. And on that day, muscles, brains, beauty, wealth, and social acceptability will have little value, if any. On that day, the important thing will be to be God's child, to have a saving relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that saving relationship is already ours. It is a gift of God to us, so that no one can boast about getting it for himself. So take this back to class with you, if you will. It's true, on a worldwide comparison basis of 1 to 10, we are at best a bunch of 2s and 3s. But God sees us as so important that He sent His own Son to die for us on the cross. And then He has called so many of us to the highest office to which man can attain, the office of the holy ministry. What blessings are yours and mine? We have been put right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been declared righteous. We are now God's holy people, and we're even called His ambassadors and have that call. Let the world scoff if it will. We have been blessed beyond measure. We have something to be proud of. And that's why St. Paul adds the last words to close on. So then, as the world, as the scriptures say, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done for him. God grant just that, for Jesus' sake. Amen.